I've been talking to someone about considering the possibility that they may come and want to play the piano for us and sing. They have a beautiful voice, and they can really play the piano. They can play it. I don't see how to do it. I really don't. But I told her, I said, you know, I sure would hate for God to take it away from you. And she said, well, I'm not angry for God to take it away from me. I said, well, are you playing the piano anywhere? Which I knew she won't. Somebody else had told me. She said, no. I said, okay. I said, you know, God give you that talent. I said, I know that you maybe had lessons and everything, but somebody else giving you lessons don't prepare you like you've been prepared. And I told her, I said, you know, I just would hate for the Lord just to take it away from you. And I said, and we're in dire need of a piano player. We could really use one. But I'm not going to beg nobody or anything to come and play. I will ask them if they play any piano or do they know anybody. And if they do, I said, just, if they don't mind, give them my name and everything, or just where they can call me and talk, and I can talk to them or whatever. I said, but now I will know this, that I will know something about them. I will not get just somebody in just to play the piano, go out there and play the piano. They got to be faithful. They got to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And I notice sometimes this day and time that people today are having to work. But you know, I believe the Lord can take care of things like that. And Sister Nancy, since today's the first day of the year of 2017, January the 1st, my prayer is that from this day forward, and it may not be for the next 3 or 4 weeks or something like that, but my prayer is that they will start giving you the time off to where you can be here in church. Because I know that's your heart's desire, is to be in God's house. And I feel like that there are other people down there that has Sunday off and probably has had Sunday off for a long time, but they don't even go to church, don't even know the Lord, and won't even serve Him. But I believe if we're going to serve, I believe, too, the thing about it is if we serve the Lord and we want to be in His house, I believe God can make a way. How many of you believe that? I do. God can definitely make a way. And see, that was the whole point about it, because I can remember when at one time that people went to church on Sunday. People didn't work on Sunday. They didn't even have grocery stores even open. They didn't even have the Kmart's and Sears and all them places open on Sunday. Why? Because the people respected the house of the Lord. And because the people also respected the pastors too. And I believe that we can get back to it. My prayer is that Sister Nancy, that you will get some good news within the next week or two that you're going to start having Sundays and Wednesdays off. Or that another job may just come available to you. You're making more money than you're making now. And you don't have to ever have to worry about working on a Sunday or a Wednesday. That's the way we need to pray. So, But here, this morning, for a little while, I just want to talk to you a little bit on some things that God will provide for us through His presence. And we just thank the Lord that He is the God that we serve. He's the Jehovah God of our life. And He's just not the Jehovah, but He's also God, and He's also God the Father. And He's also God the Son, and He's also God the Holy Spirit. Now, I had somebody this past week ask me, could I explain it to them about the three in one? All God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Can you explain to me how that works? And what I done, I just took the egg, and I explained to them that way. And I've told y'all that before, but you know, an egg, or you take a raw egg and just take it out of the carton there, and if you just drop that egg, what it's going to do, it's going to shatter, it's going to run everywhere. You're going to have it white down there, it's going to the shell. Then you're going to have the other part of the egg, it's going to run. It's going to get sticky and stuff like that. But when you take it and put that egg in some hot water, y'all going to have to help me with this now. Because I ain't no cook. Don't claim to be no cook. But you can take and put that egg in hot water, and you can let that egg boil. Let the water there boil to the point that in, I don't know how long, 4 or 5 minutes, 10 minutes, I don't know, whatever. And that egg, you can take and you can be able to drop that egg. And as you drop that egg, the only thing that's going to break and it's going to maybe crack around is the outside, which is the shell. All right, you need, I don't need it in there, really, not this morning, because I'm loud enough as it is, because I can't even have here myself. No, I can't even have here myself, because I've got an echo back in my ear and everything, so. But we can take a boiled egg, and we can take it. And you can take it, and I can take it right here, and I can take it and drop it here on the floor right here. It will not bust open like it would if it, before I boiled. The shell on the outside, it may crack. It may look like it's going to shatter, but it's don't. Why? Because it's something that is inside that protects it. And I'm so thankful that we have the three in one. We have God the Father, which He protects us. He is everywhere, and He knows everything. Then we have God the Son, which God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He left heaven. He left the throne room of God there. And He came to earth and was born through a Virgin Mary. Only the only child that's ever been born that way. There was never be a child born that way again. Never has been, and it never will be. Only one. And that's the only begotten Son of God. The only begotten Son of God. Then you had Him go down through time, and then in the book of Acts is when the church come up around. Then not only that, the Holy Spirit come around in John chapter was spoken of in the book of John. But we also have the symbol of the type of the Spirit in the Old Testament. We have this type of the Holy Spirit there in Exodus. We can have it there in the book of Genesis also. But we have it there in the book of Exodus with Moses. You said, well, what do you mean we had a type of the Holy Spirit with Moses? We did. Moses, what did he say? He told God, and he was just, you would have thought he would have known about this. But we do the same thing today. We say, well, God, why? We don't need to come to him why about anything, because he already knows it before it even comes to pass. And even with Moses, that Moses told God, said, God, I can't even speak. He said, I can't speak to where people can understand me. Did you realize we're using the same excuse today? When we go out and visit someone, when we know that what we should do, we should invite someone to church. And we say, you know, I get so nervous and I get tongue-tied and stuff like that. Well, Moses did too. But what did Moses have? Moses had the same thing that we have today. Moses had Aaron, which was his brother. And that's what God told Moses. He said, don't you have a brother named Aaron? He said, yes, sir, I sure do. See, Aaron was a type of the Holy Spirit. A type of the Holy Spirit. Then you have the same thing in back over in Genesis chapter 22 about Abraham. Abraham is a type of the Father. We have his son, which is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he knew that he was going somewhere. He didn't know exactly what he was going to have to do, but his father did. His father knew what Isaac was going to have to do. He knew what he was going to have to offer up. Now, I don't know why I got off on this, but I did. But today, we can look at it in this way. That we have faith. And why do we have faith? Why can we work with faith? How can we work and not have it? We can't. We cannot do anything for the Lord unless we have faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I'm so thankful that he's given me the faith, just like he did in chapter 22 in the book of Genesis, in Abraham. See, Abraham was a type of faith. That's what God is. God, he is faith. And that's where we build our faith upon, is upon him. Why? Because without him, there's no faith. Without the word of God, there's no faith. You know, back in 1980, August, you know how I got saved? It wasn't Jesus Christ. It wasn't God the Father. The Word of God. The Word of God. That's how I got saved, through the Word of God, which led me to the Lord Jesus Christ.
which then led me to the Father, where he would take my name and he would plant it there in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I believe in the Lamb's Book of Life is the speaking of God's precious word. Because I believe that our name is also settled in that one book. I believe at the end of the book, because you know, today we, you know, you go out, you can buy these Bibles and everything, family Bibles, and they have places in where we can put our name of each one of our family in, right? We can list our family in the Bible there. And thinking about that, and we've got, and we're part of God's family. Yeah, we're part of God's family. God's not going to allow us to be able to go without him. But as I pick up that egg from the floor after it's been boiled, I can take it and I have to peel it away. I have to peel away the shell part of that egg, right? I cannot take it and take it on the table and put it like that. Like we would if we just want to fix some eggs, scrambled eggs or something like that. We'll take it and we can take it, put the take an egg and we can tap it on the side of that bowl or on the side of the frying pan. But you can't take a boiled egg and do it that way. You can't get to God through no other way but through the Lord Jesus Christ, conviction, and through the Son of God. It's impossible. It cannot be, cannot happen. That's the reason the Jehovah Witnesses, that they cannot ever get to God in what they read, in what they believe. Why? Because they believe in one, Jehovah. And they won't even mention the word Holy Spirit. Only thing they mention is my helper. Big deal. I can go out here. I can go out here and start painting right here. And I can, maybe some of y'all may come up and join me. Hey, I can look at y'all as my helper. Why? Because you're helping me do something, right? But that helper that I have, he's not going to comfort me in times when I need it. Like the Holy Spirit.
This day and time that we're living in is a sad time. It's a sad time because of why? Because of the people that's out there. The churches have got to the point, and I'm not just speaking about this church, I'm speaking about the church in general. Them forgot about where we was at. Forgot about that we was one time where they are. And my prayer is that 2017 is going to be a better life for me, and I can be a better servant to the Lord, and I can be a better under shepherd to you. That is my heart's desire. And the only way that I can get that, and the only way that I can hold on to it, is through God's word. Without God's word, I have nothing, right? Yes, I'm saved.
But if I don't have God's word, what am I going to do?
The spirit man on the inside is going to drive. He's going to drive to what? To sin. He's going to drive to where he's not going to recognize God. He's not going to recognize when the Holy Spirit speaks to him. He's not going to recognize the other Christians that walk beside him. Why? Because we've got away from the Word of God. Churches today, they're getting away from the Word of God. And they're allowing these other translations to come into church and come into the churches and think that they're really doing something because they got people coming in. They think that they're really doing something because they, oh man. Man, they have filled the church up today. They have filled the church up. We're going to have to start building. We're going to build us another church. Well, but we can't build around here because, you know, where we're at is, oh, the things that's going on around here, you know, we don't need to be around that. We don't need to be around that type of people. But it's them type of people is the reason they grew. And plus two, so many of them today that's joining the church. And the pastor is saying, man, we had a wonderful year last year. We had maybe 50, 75, maybe 100 people come and join the church. They said the church is really growing. I says, it is? Yes, sir, it sure is. I says, how many times did you use the baptistry last year? Well, I don't know, probably 10 times. How many souls were saved last year? Oh, the ones that were saved last year is the ones that we baptized. I said, your church did not grow. It did not grow. It grew by 10 people is all it grew by. All the other people that come in, they just come in and join a church. They just come in and join some kind of function. They didn't come in and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this thing about people, well, I'm going to say it because the Lord really wants me to do so. Y'all bear with me a minute. Let me make sure I get it out the right way. People in general, they'll come in and they'll join a church. They'll come in and yes, and they'll say this, they're saved. And the only way that you can prove an individual that is saved is by the fruit that they bear. And which Brother Bill brought up that fruit. The 12 manner of fruit, which there's a fruit for each month during a year. How many souls have we won to the Lord? That is a part of the fruit that we bear. And if part of the fruit that we also can bear is going out and being a witness and telling people what God has done for you. See, because you're the one that's bearing the fruit. I'm the one that's bearing the fruit. Not Faith Baptist Church. The ones that's in the church. The body of Christ. Each one of us, if we go out and if we visit and if we tell people about Jesus, then we must leave it alone. But a whole lot of times we won't leave it alone. What happens then?
We end up going back to them because they haven't come to church, or and they still haven't got saved. Well, it seems like that what we're trying to do is we're trying to go and talk to them and say, hey, you need to get saved. Don't you think they know that? They know that. It's just not time for them. Because without the Spirit of God drawing them, they cannot get saved. I do believe that if an individual comes in and visits the church, there's never been saved. And if the Holy Spirit speaks to the heart, and they get out of the pew and in the middle aisle, and their intentions is coming down to the altar to get saved. As soon as the Holy Spirit spoke to them, and then they moved to the middle aisle, I believe instantly they're automatically saved there. They just coming down here and confirming. They just coming down here and confirming. And then that's when we need to encourage the individual to tell the people in the church what just happened. Don't know. We should never be ashamed of what Jesus has done for us. I have never been ashamed of what Jesus has done for me, but I have sure have been ashamed of my life and myself and what I've done for Him. I've been ashamed of my own self, but I have never been ashamed of what Jesus has done for me. Because one thing about it, He don't look down on upon me anymore like I do. He don't see me in that realm like I do. I can see myself, because what I do, I will go back way back in the presence. I will go way back in the past, and I can draw myself up to August of 1980. That's one reason.
And I thank God for this. That's one reason that I'm here today. Because I heard the Word of God.
James Hughes, he did not walk around it. He did not go around this theory or that and try to explain to me if this was to happen or if that happened, then you might get saved. No, he just plain ain't put it like it is. He says, darling, which I think he called me Mr. Man, I think it was, but I told him I was not name. You call me Dr. Man, I'm missing my name. But he says, and I want to ask you something. Since we're here talking about church, since we've been here talking about the Bible, and I've been talking to you about Jesus, and I've been talking to you about God, I want to ask you something. You know, right now, 7:30 on this Monday afternoon, and I have the date I still can't keep up with, the second Monday night of August of 1980, because I want to ask you this question. And I'm not going to put to you maybe or anything, I'm going to put to you straight. It is. If you was to die today, well, I said, I'm not aiming to. I said, you know, I mean, here it is. I'm just 30 years old. I'm hoping I can live a whole lot longer. He said, but you know something? God don't promise nobody that.
only thing God promised you was right now, the right very moment, the breath that you're breathing right now. He said, but I want to ask you something. If you was to lay down this afternoon after we leave, and when you go to bed, you don't know if you're going to wake up in the morning or not. But if you was to die, if you was to take your last breath this afternoon sometime or another, can you tell me with certainty that you'd be in heaven or that you'd be in hell? I says, I can't tell you for certain because I don't know. He said, I want to ask you another question. Have you ever been saved? Has your life ever changed from what you were yesterday to something new? That you've turned your life completely around? Have you asked Jesus to come into your life? I said, no. He said, well, then you will end up in hell unless you accept before that time. And with that, it touched my heart. Let me tell you really why it touched my heart. Because I had a 3-year-old daughter. And my wife, and I didn't know about my wife. I didn't know about her relationship with the Lord. I didn't know if she'd have been saved or not. But I knew my daughter hadn't. And I said, Lord, if you will allow me to be able to live long enough where I could see my daughter saved. And if my wife is not saved, that I can see her saved. Ever how long that may be, it may be another 4 more years. But if you'll give me that 4 more years of what time is left, where I can see my daughter saved and my wife. That's the reason I went to church. That's the reason when I went to church that next Wednesday afternoon. I didn't wait till Sunday. I went and I come to church that Wednesday afternoon. When I come that Wednesday afternoon, what did I do? I went forward. I went forward and I told the pastor of the church, Bill Scares, that day. I told him what had happened to my life. I told him who had come in. And I told him right then, I said, Brother Billy, I don't know what y'all, how y'all do this, anything. He said, but I said, I would love to be a part of this fellowship here. I'd love to be a part of this church. Brother Billy asked me, says, would you want to join? I said, well, yeah. Whatever, what else I got to do? They said, well, you done already said what you've done. That's enough, really. He said, but the thing about it is, what you need to do, since you've been saved, and this is before you, if you wanted to wait 6 months to join a church, whatever, but since you've been saved and born again, there's one thing that you need to do. And it's not the 2 ordinances of the church, of the Baptist church. The first one is, being baptized, being immersed down into the water, not to be sprinkled upon someone's head, because every time I take a shower, I'm sprinkled. Every time I go out in the rain, I'm sprinkled. I don't need that. him first. Meaning that the old man was going under. The old sinful, hell-bound sinner was going under the water. Which it represents the water of life. Which that water give us life. Which was through Jesus Christ our Savior. Then they took me. He took me and he rose me up from that, from the beneath the water. And he rose me back up to where I was standing straight up. I was buried with the sin of my life. But when I came forward as a new man, as a new creature. All my sins had been washed away. Had been washed away. That was the reason that I stayed in church, because I knew what it meant. I knew what it meant. They explained to me what it meant. That's the reason I stayed in church. I want people to be able to enjoy the life that they, that God is so graciously give them. We need to enjoy our life. We need to grab life by its hands. We need to grab it and say, hey, I'm going to live this life that God has given me. And I'm going to live it with abundance. I'm going to live it before mankind. We cannot live it by coming to church on Sunday morning. This Sunday morning. Next Sunday morning. And the Sunday morning after that. You know, when I went to back then, after I got saved, we had some people to come into church. And they'd already been saved, but they was members of other churches. On another church, this one particular family. And the reason that they left the other church was because of the pastor kept talking about a roundabout going through the back door about his job and the job that he was on. That if the people that have them type of jobs cannot be able to teach, cannot be able to take up offering, cannot be able to do certain things within the church. And I can understand why. But you see, that was the first time that young man, and he was a friend of mine, and I see him almost every time I go to a doctor somewhere like that, I see him. But it was not 2 or 3 months after he come to church at Brush Elbow. And after he joined the church, he joined the church in knowing in the job that he held that he could not be able to come in and teach Sunday school. He could not come in and be an usher. And he could not be coming in there to participate in anywhere at all. The only thing he could do was come and just be a member and a part of the church in that way. But you can tell you what. As soon as that other pastor had told him what he told him, it didn't hurt his feelings. It didn't hurt his feelings. You know, that's the thing about it. You know, people's feelings, they get so hurt today. They get so hurt. And they take it out of them. They take it out of them.
God don't realize. I don't want anything that I say that will keep anybody from coming to church or keep anybody from serving God. But as long as I'm in the flesh, I am out to say something wrong. I know that. But I also have a God in heaven that's also there willing to forgive me. That's what we need to be a part of. We need to be a part of the forgiveness of God. In 2017, we need to learn how to say, forgive me. I am sorry. If we're not willing to say, I'm sorry, to have a point to get somebody in church, get somebody under the gospel, and get somebody else serving God, what's wrong? It's not them. It's us. Because we're looking at it in a different way than God looks at it. We're supposed to be the bigger individual. We're supposed to be bigger than that other individual. Because, see, that other individual has not even come to the maturity of life to even be called the babes of Christ. They're still that young little child. It's not their fault. It's not their fault that they don't come to church. It's not their fault. Whose fault is it? Mine. I'm willing to take my blame. But I'm also willing to go to them and tell them, I'm sorry. If I've ever said anything, if I've ever walked the wrong way, or if I even looked at anybody else the wrong way, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I don't want them to lose the joy because people have seen something within me that they didn't understand at the time. And they will not understand it until they get in church
this past week. Now I'm going to close with this. But this past week,
I went and I visited a young man and his wife,
talking to him. They asked me questions and different things about the Bible. Some of them I could answer, some of them I'd give them the best I could. I didn't know if it was the right answer, but I says, if it's what I said was wrong, I will get in back in touch with you and I will let you know. And he walked with me out to the car. He says, preacher, he says, I know that I need to get back in church. I know that I need to get back in church. Whether my wife wants to go or not, I know that I need to get back in church. And I know that she needs to get back. We need to get back back in church as a family. I said, but I'm going to say something to you. I says, whether it's done in faith, and I said, I would love for you to come and try us out and really give us a good try. Because we could use you. We could use you in so many different ways. And you say that you want to get into a church where you can be a part of the church and be a part of the fellowship. I said, well, if you come and if you give us a try and you say, Lord, this is where I want to be at. And you come in and you join the church and you're faithful to the church, you'll have plenty to do. He said, that's what I need. I said, but I know it's what you need, and I know you said you want to get in church. I said, but I will tell you this much. And I said, I'm telling you this by experience and by other people. If you happen to come to Faith Baptist the first time, or if you happen to be Community Baptist the first time, whatever the church that you go to for the first time, there's a Bible-believing, King James, hellfire and brimstone preacher that preaches the truth and don't say anything about the preacher. Well, he's going to get up and preach, he's going to get all on my toes. Well, ain't one thing I can say is not tell anybody. If you come, if you listen, and if I don't do nothing but step on your toes, guess what? Me and God both, we missed. God missed too. And then I missed too by not explaining it out a little bit. What we need to do, we need to make sure that it just don't step on the toes, that it steps on the heart. That it touches the heart. Because when it touches the heart, it's going to be there next week. It's going to be there next month. See, even as big as I am, I can come down there and I can take Sister Betty. I'm in the middle of the aisle. And I can step on her toes. And I not just step on them lightly, but I can go and step on her toes to raise my other leg. Where I can have all my weight on her toes. Her toes. She's going to have a little pain. She's going to have a little pain. But see, the pain has not reached her heart. The pain will not reach her heart. But the pain that we must put upon the people is where the pain will reach the heart. Where it's touched the heart in a way that they know that God has spoken to them. God didn't speak to me or Sister Betty when I stepped all over her toes. Only that, the devil can even do this. I mean, he said, well, man, your toes, I mean, they hurt you, I know. When that big man up there, and he come there and put all his weight on your toes, they got hurt. I know they got hurt. I remember the message that I preached, and I used that, well, it was more to it than that, but I remember it was a preacher's fellowship one time, and a young lady was there at the fellowship. And her name is Lucy McGee. I know y'all all heard of Chris McGee. It was his wife. I think it was his wife or his girlfriend. No, I think it was his wife. No, they just had gotten married or something. I think it was.
I come down from the pulpit, and I was ending up. She was sitting on the second pew on the outside. Chris was sitting beside her on the inside. And I said, "Sister Lucy, I'm going to stand up for a minute." She said, "Okay." So she stood up. I said, "Now, come on right here now." She looked at me kind of funny, like, "What are you going to do now?" And I didn't know it at the time, until I told, but she had sandals on. But I went up there, and I put my foot and I stepped on her toes. And when I did, she says, "Ow!" She said, "Break, that hurt." I said, "I know, but it hurt your heart." She said, "No, Mom. It hurt my feet. My feet. I saw them now." I said, "I know. It didn't touch your heart." I said, "That's the thing about it is, people always brag about the preacher stepped all over my toes today." Well, if that's the best I can do, with God's help, I missed, and also God, we both missed. Because we're both aiming at the heart. And if people will understand that that's where they can get the life right, is in their heart and through the heart, not through the toes, not through your mind, not through your belly, but through the heart. Because see, God is the only one who gives a heart transplant and never leaves a scar. The only one. Never leaves a scar, but he will give us a heart transplant. And I'm sure and thankful that he gave me a heart transplant. And when he did, he gave me the heart transplant that was covered in his love. That was covered in everything that he had, that I could just come and accept him and not worry about anything that he had. I could come and accept him and not worry about the next day. Which I know a whole lot of people do today. They still worry about what's going on. That's something that we don't have control of. So why should we worry about it? I don't worry about it. I leave my wife, I leave that up to my wife because I know she's going to worry. So I leave that up to her. My prayer is that 2017 is that we'll be more devoted to him than we have been in the past. Because see, 2016 is gone. It's gone, it's over the hills. It's under the sea. But now we're at the bottom of the hill, man. We've got to climb the hill for the next year. Are we going to stop by someone's home? Are we going to speak to people that we pass by in this journey that we're going to take in 2017? And it's going to be a journey like we've never took them before. is anything at all that I can do for you, please don't ever hesitate to give me a call. If nothing, if I may not know exactly what to do at the time, but I do know one thing. I got somebody I can go to that knows exactly what to do. And I can pray for you. And you can pray for me. We need to have people pray with each other. We need to have a better prayer this coming week than we have in past. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this day. And Father, we do thank you, Lord, for what you've given us today, Father. And Lord, I pray as God speaks people that we come in contact with each and every week. That we have an opportunity just to speak to them. And I know sometimes, Father, that if we see them and they're on a job, I know that we really can't talk to them that well there, and where we can communicate to them in the right way. But Lord Jesus, at least we can ask them if they go to church. They're saved. And Father, if they don't, if they're not saved, or Father, we can just ask them and not be ashamed of it to ask where they live. And Father, where we can be able to go and visit them. And Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you, Father, for what you've got ahead of us that we do not expect. But I know that you're God that wants more people come under the gospel, come under the Word of God. And Father, we pray this afternoon, Father, 12:30 here, and Father, I know it's a little long, Father, but Father, when your Spirit speaks, I have to answer, and I have to give an account of, I know I'm going to have to give an account one day of everything that I've said and everything that I've done by obeying your voice. So, Father, now we ask, Lord Jesus, that you may go with each one of us to our respective homes. Give us a good afternoon. And, Father, be with each one of us, Father, and we'll sit down to the table. And, Father, we can thank you for the hands that prepared the meal for us, Father. That meal can bring strength to our bodies, that we can be back here tonight. Father, we love you. We love the Son. And we love the Holy Spirit. We love the Triune God. In Jesus' name, our Savior and our Lord, we pray. Amen and amen.